Good evening, Patriots. First, I just want to thank everybody for continuing to endure this kind of crazy platform we're on as we wait to be taken out of the penalty box over on YouTube, and just to endure what we're going to go through for a little bit, because we're moving forward with the development of that standalone server, and that will happen. It's not a question of if. It's happening. So it'll take us a few weeks. I don't know what the development time is, and we just have to be patient, but it's going to be epic, and it will be a base camp. Someone said that today, and I absolutely love it. It will be the Bard's FM base camp, and that's awesome. So looking forward to it, and we'll just continue to adapt while we move forward and adjust to the craziness that goes on these tech platforms. Patriots, I want to begin just with a kind of a correction, and I'm really grateful to a patriot that wrote in, Robert. Robert has explained to me, and I do see now. I've been apprehensive for many reasons, because I haven't had the research before me, to refer to 17, the number, as something greater than renewal. And I've been using the term renewal in 17, and as he's pointed out, that's actually the number 8. In the calendar is the Sukkot, a part of the Sukkot. It's not the calendar, but the Sukkot is 8 is perfection. And so I'm making this correction because I'm going to use it correctly going forward, which is everything I was talking about today in 17 even makes it more profound, because 17 represents spiritual perfection plus ordinal perfection, or the perfection of the spiritual order. It's a testimony of completeness or victory that is found in the Lord. So as I reflect on the things we talked about today, and we'll talk more about them in coming shows, it makes it even more profound, is the fact that 17 is showing up everywhere. It's not like one of these things where you start looking for it and finding it. It's just appearing. And when it does, you notice it, because it doesn't just appear in one item. Like I told you the other day, we had 10 people listed in this chat, and every single one of them had 17. Out of the 10, 9 of them had 17 in their little hearts. I mean, that's just one example of many. We did it in our show today earlier. We did it was in the Stormcast that we did. The second one this afternoon, where we went through in the news, all the 17s that are showing up. And it's pretty amazing. I'll just tell you that. So it's more than, it is a, to me, it's a data point that we point to It references the greatness of the things that are going on that are far bigger than us, far bigger than man. And it's all basically pointing to the fact that we have to hold the line and hold our faith. And that kind of leads me into a couple of interesting passages tonight. 1 Peter 5:10. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. This is a pretty amazing passage when we reflect on where we all feel we are. And in this moment in time, it's such an incredible place that we're all being put through a bit of suffering. We all feel that. And we all feel that pressure and that questioning. And the whole part of this process leaves you with only one way you can draw the final conclusion. And that is that this is the hand of God at work. We can try many ways to articulate what's going on. And that would include trying to imagine a network, a perfect network of human beings working across the world simultaneously with watches all timed with perfect synchronization and these precision moments happening that all these people started to work and all these crazy events come to life. And I'm not going to tell you some of that doesn't happen, but on a global scale of what we are witnessing in a complete awakening of people, a return to God in a magnitude and in a way we could have never imagined, and a support and love for one another that far exceeds anything we could have conceived of even 2 years ago. This is not just a people thing. This is a God thing, and God's moving as God moves. I think we tend to think of action very much like Sodom and Gomorrah, where it was suddenly there's a flash and lightning and whatever else is hitting, and suddenly the cities are incinerated and all the problems are kind of solved. But that's not what we're witnessing here, because in order to fix this, this is so deeply rooted into every one of our lives. I would argue that from a perspective of freeing us and having us be free, you can't just destroy things. You have to decouple. You have to awaken. You have to see where the tendrils touch you. You have to make choices, each and every one of us. And as we have learned with the control mechanisms, the discussions we've been having about the Constitution, how it's actually working, what it was intended to do, how it is actually working, the power of the corporation, this is all Babylonian money magic and Babylonian mysticism that has been brought into the modern world. And it is truly a cultish issue, because these are, the Babylonian process was a process of worship, and I guess I would use the term hex or curse that they would use. And so we're living through that again. And that is not an experience that is going to simply go away. It's not simply we're going to stand up and go, okay, we're done. We're going to walk over here to this nice little patio of grass and call it good. In order for us to be able to leave that place, we have to be able to visibly see all that is around us. We have to make very difficult choices, and we have to choose not only to be free, but to walk as God chooses us to walk, would want us to walk. Now, this brings in Matthew 5, 43, 48. And it's a powerful reflection on what I just said and where we are. And it's a very critical reflection here for all of us, because we've been through a lot and we have a lot of demands. We have had a lot of expectations and hope for justice, and some pretty harsh justice. And I'm number one to talk about that. I'll tell you right now, some of these people I shake my head at. But I've had to take pause in a very serious and deep way as I read this passage, and I want you to hear it. We have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Look, I'll be the first to tell you that's a hard push for most of us. And yet, in the place that we sit right now, and we realize the magnitude of this opportunity that sits before us, this is truly one of the critical parts of the path we walk. We must consider this and reflect on this and embody these words, because ultimately where we're walking to is a place that we must forgive, and we must pray for those. That's the walk of Christ. And we're not trapped in that matrix anymore. We're trapped only by what we choose to be trapped by. And if we're going to recreate those same snares of the old, then we're not going to go anywhere. We're going to ultimately fall back to the other side. In a conversation I had earlier tonight, there was a discussion about the direction that we were going and how important it is for us to teach our children to pass on these legacies. And I've thought a lot about this. So many, many things that came from that conversation, all positive. And in the reflection of what is it that we give to our children that ensures that this prison that we were in doesn't come back again, because it will try. We're not going to end up in some place where evil suddenly just gets brushed away and it's all gone. We ourselves as people are deeply flawed, and we're tempted, and things happen. So what is it, I think, that can help us ensure, if we properly teach and pass on to children, our children, and ensure that the grandchildren and their children, it centers, I believe, on this, which is to transform the way that we look at each other, including those that try to persecute us and those that are trying to be our enemies. It's a very difficult transition. I'm not going to say that it isn't, but it's somewhere in that process. There has to be a prayer, and we have to extend love to those that are misguided and those that are still wandering and lost. And that's basically the mountain that sits before us. And with that, embodying those values in the many forms that we can, through scripture, or towards teaching the Constitution in our homes, towards the Federalist Papers, and teaching those to our children, we arrive at a place where we begin to embody in them the true depth of what it takes to uphold this republic. This republic is been referred to by many as an experiment. I'm going to deviate a little bit. I look at this republic as a gift from God that is up to us to maintain, which to me elevates it much higher than just an experiment. An experiment is like something you do in the lab and you throw a couple chemicals in a petri dish or in a mixing jar, and you see what happens. And if you're lucky, you get an exciting little smolder and smoke and maybe a boom, and everybody claps because you made the class stop or whatever. That's an experiment. This is not an experiment. This is an opportunity. And it's one that God has given us at this moment in time to be able to reclaim an opportunity that was given to us over 240 years ago. And now we're back at that same juncture. And in that same point, we are having to reflect on many of the same things that our founding fathers and the colonials that our ancestors all had to deal with, except there's a difference now. And that is that through the information and through the experience that we've had collectively, we have an opportunity to truly embrace and embody that opportunity at a level that is so unbelievably unique because of the nature of the fight that we've been through. There's no question that our founding fathers, our ancestors, sacrificed enormously to bring this country to fruition and to bring some of that reality forward. But there was still a limitation of knowledge and awareness as to how deeply deceptive and powerful these elites were. And it's because of that that it was easy to fall back into a comfort zone, to be lulled to sleep quickly, relatively quickly, in fact, that the elites were able to swoop in and begin twisting and turning the details, the subtle things that eventually allowed them to reclaim control of us through a simple word change on a constitution, and nobody paid any attention. Where we have evolved to now is that details matter, and we pay attention to details. Even if we're wrong at times or we misinterpret something, it's still the point that over the last 5 years, we've refined our sight, we've refined our awareness, we've refined our instinctual approach to things to see details and pay attention to them and to question, which is so critical and all that goes on. And so as we push forward here, it is so critical that those skills stay refined. When you're in a conflict zone, you build an enormous amount of awareness. It's a strange thing. It's almost superhuman, and I truly mean that. And the world in a flash can slow down, and what you can absorb and remember and all the details that you retain afterwards is incredible. You can remember a license plate number. You can remember the color of somebody's eyes, and you can do this on the move. It's like hypersenses. But then when we go back to our regular life and our pace, all those get suppressed, they get dulled, and it's when mistakes happen. Right now, we're all sitting in a very hyper acute awareness. We've been dealing with this fight for so long, it becomes a routine for us. And there is part of this is as we pray and we get close to God, we have to remain vigilant through Him in all that we do. That doesn't mean living the rest of our lives, say, without sleep or having to data mine every single day. And yet there's a portion of that that can never go away. We have that need now and a necessity to stand into this fight and to pass that on, the legacies of that, the stories that go with it, and to be able to translate the stories of the Bible, to now firsthand be able to talk about the Constitution in a light that we truly have lived and understand, and to be able to pass that on in such a way that our children and their children and the children after that follow them can never forget how important it is to be vigilant. We cannot fall asleep. We have to remember it. And with that, we have to build that pathway to the hardest things that God has asked us to do, because I think it's then when we confront those greatest challenges that we are able to truly, truly overcome the need, which I think is, I wouldn't say a need, but a propensity to fall asleep and to get comfortable. And that greatest thing here is to forgive our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. I will tell you honestly, that's counterintuitive to me. And it's because it's easy. Those are easy words to say. I will be honest with you. Anybody can say them. But if we're going to be truly honest with ourselves, we know how difficult that task is. And it's a true test of faith to put ourselves to God and say, okay, God, I'm going to try, for some, I'm going to try this. And we must. And nowhere in there does it say weak. And what is the most important part about that is when we hear that voice that says that's weakness, the irony of that is completely the Luciferian programming that's in us, because the Luciferian order, which is effectively what we're dealing with, who sees themselves as descendants of Cain, sees that compassion and love are true weakness, and it's that which they seek to expunge from the earth. They see that having empathy for another is weakness, and they seek to expunge that. And so it is there that we've been, that seed of doubt between us and God has been placed so effectively in our subconscious that we have to continually work through that through a process of prayer and trusting in God to find and re-establish that line as God would want us to do. We've never truly tested, in my opinion, the power of true compassion, love, and forgiveness. None of us. And I'm not just talking one time here or one time there. I'm talking about as a collective whole, who we are, as God's children, working together in that sense of holding the line, in that sense of holding the shield against those arrows from the evil one, or from holding the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All of those things in those moments, wielding truth, wielding compassion, and wielding forgiveness and grace as the true forces of change and transformation and the greatest weapons that we've ever been armed with. To me, to teach that, to live that, to pass that on to our children, there is no greater legacy, there's no greater challenge, and there's no greater transformative force than that right there. What an amazing inheritance to give and pass on. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the challenges you place before us as we reflect deeply upon ourselves and these moments when we have to confront some of our inequities, and yet know that you're there for us, to walk with us, to guide us, if all we do is trust in you. Lord, let us hear you. Let us walk with strength with you. Let us be able to walk these paths as Christ walked and truly embrace the power of forgiveness and prayer, compassion for our enemies, as difficult as that may be. Let us place the trust of justice in your hand, and let us walk this path to bring the light, your light, into this world, even to those whose hearts have turned dark. Let us pray for unity. Let us pray for healing, and let us pray for those that have done us wrong. And in the end, let us find forgiveness in our hearts and in all that we do. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. It truly is an amazing walk we are on. It's a walk we take together each day. And that's, I think, the most powerful piece of all of this. There's not just one of us. It's not just a person sitting in the back of a church. It is us together, walking this together. Literally, where we go one, we go all, in the most powerful of sense, that we are here and now, and we are walking with the opportunity to walk that path of spiritual perfection. The sign markers are everywhere. The indicators are everywhere that this hand, this opportunity is being presented before us. Patriots, we cannot fail. This is a time when we must simply trust in God to guide us and know that where we arrive is exactly as he intended and in the perfection of time and place as he desired. And in that moment, all we find there, and as we all we find on that walk, all we find in that place is peace, contentment, and solidity in every step that we make. Wish you a very blessed night. For those that are struggling for whatever reason, let's raise prayers for them to know that everything will be okay. You're not alone. Remember that. Nobody is alone out here. We only are alone if we choose to be. God is always with you, and there is a sea of patriots whose hearts are open and prayers are up. And that's exactly as it should always be. Have a blessed night. Head up, eyes forward. Never relent to evil. Always press into the fight, and always remember to trust in God, for He will deliver. Good night, Patriots.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose. Reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see it now. We're on the edge of a moment, but not a fire that now we're diving in. The light up ahead, we're running to it. We're on the edge, now we're diving in. Stay aware, and you'll see that every broken dream fit together flawlessly, pave the road to better things. Letting go of the moments that could only keep us down. I can see it now, can you see it now? We're on the edge of a moment, but not a fire that now we're diving in. The light up ahead, we're running to it. We're on the edge, now we're diving in.
Tasted dirt as I hit the ground. You were there through it all. How far are you gonna go before you know what you should have known all along? Now how fast I can fall into your way. Should be. Don't let me go again. Can't wait until it's found every day. Making lifelong memories inside your waiting arms. Waiting arms. I'm heading straight into your waiting arms. I'm heading straight into your waiting arms. I'm heading straight into your waiting arms. One thing that I need. need your waiting on. Into your wedding hall.